Welcome back, everybody. Tom Callahan here with you. Another edition of the Talking Puck podcast, joined by Jay Levin, as always. I am at Callahan on air. He is at Bowtie Sports on Twitter. Give us a follow there as well. And you can check out our blog at talkingpuck.wordpress.com. But, Jay, we just got done wrapping up the Stanley Cup Final. Now we're into the offseason. A lot of teams have been in the offseason here for quite some time. A lot of changes going on, a lot to look forward to, but now instead of talking about 30 teams, it comes out that we will be talking about 31 teams. AP reporting that even though it's not official until the Board of Governors meeting on June 22nd, indeed it is, Las Vegas, that will get the 31st NHL expansion team, no team for Quebec City.
You know, I don't think that that's a huge surprise. I mean, it seems as if this is the way things have been trending, at least for the last 4 to 6 months. I mean, great for the league to get in the Las Vegas market. I think Vegas is a market that can sustain one pro sports team very well. So it'll be exciting to see what hockey's like in Vegas, see how that market slowly gravitates towards it. I think it's a good move. I think it's great for the Western Conference. It balances out some of the divisions, some of the travel a little bit more for those California teams. So I think all in all, this is going to be a good move for the league, and I think a very exciting move for the sport of hockey.
So, and they have a brand new arena, the T-Mobile Arena there in Vegas. They just finished it. It's a beautiful facility. It's just incredible. I mean, if you look at the online tour, that place is top-notch. So you've got that going for you. You've got a pretty big media market that, as you mentioned, has no professional sports franchise to this point. And the question being, and you know, people talk about the Raiders coming in or maybe coming in a couple of years. Number one, it's good for the NHL, regardless of what Bill Daly says. It's good for the NHL to beat the NFL to the punch. If the Raiders are going to move in, you've got to get there ahead of them because football is just king. That's the way it is. So if you get in, you're established. They've been taking ticket deposits. They've done a nice job of building things up in the Las Vegas market. They have a lot of support. They have those tickets sold. The corporate money will follow. I think they're going to ride a wave of early success. Even if the team isn't that great on the ice, I feel like the product they'll put out there in the building they're going to put it in is going to attract people. And let's face it, everybody thinks of Vegas as a tourist town, and yes, it is, but you know, you and I have spent a lot of time in Nashville, another tourist-based town. There have to be people working jobs to support the tourists coming in, the bartenders, the servers, the cooks, the people who are, in Vegas's case, working in the casinos, all those support staff, they have to be there. So those people are the ones who are going to be buying the tickets and going to the games.
And Vegas is a good-sized market. You've got a lot of disposable income in that town. So, you know, the elements are there to support a pro sports team. The other, you know, point to make, getting back on your point about being the first sport in, when you talk about the financing that the NFL or potentially a Major League Baseball owner would be looking for to build a stadium there, well, you know, you wonder if the Vegas pack holders would be willing to pay for that if they already have another pro sports team there. So by getting hockey in there, it might make that arena vote a little bit less palatable for the tax holders there in Vegas, and it may kind of box out other sports from being able to join into the market.
And so for the NHL to go ahead, go in there with what looks to be, appears to be, a strong and committed ownership group, that's another important thing. Kind of you knew the last hurdle had been cleared when they figured out how they were going to do the dispersal of the expansion draft. The other thing here, Jay, important to note, is that with the 17-18 season being the target and not deferring a year to 18-19, is that clubs around the league would have had more of a chance to prepare, maybe sign some contracts a little bit differently with the thought of being able to expose players for that expansion draft. But instead, now here you've got, you know, just basically a year ahead of you, and it's going to raise some interesting questions for a lot of other teams as far as who do they sign, for how long, who are they going to protect. Now they've got to start thinking in terms of that for next summer.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be a very interesting storyline to watch over the next, at least the next 8 10, 12 days leading into the official vote and the official announcement. I mean, does it end up being 17, 18? Do they end up, once they get into the vote, pushing it back to 18, 19? How do they set the official parameters for who needs to be exposed and for salary cap that needs to be exposed? What do they do with players on no movement clauses, no trade clauses? I think some of those details will really be interesting to see how those are fine-tuned. But you're right, that's going to have a big impact on how teams take a look at things. I mean, you might have a guy who's a really good buyout candidate this year. Maybe a team holds on to him knowing that you've got that expansion draft coming up next year, and that perhaps, you know, you can see that guy slide through. I'll throw a name out, maybe isn't a buyout candidate, but is definitely on the trade block, Scott Hartnell. And Columbus really would like to move Scott Hartnell's contract. They're having a tough time finding someone to take on all the remaining money, plus give them big assets that they're looking for Hartnell. Well, now knowing that Hartnell, you know, potentially could be exposed to an expansion draft, you know, if you're Columbus, maybe you're more willing to hold on to him for a year. If you're another team looking to trade for him, maybe you're willing to run the risk on some of the money that at the back end of that contract, thinking that an expansion team might take that off your hands.
Well, and that'll lead us kind of nicely and segue into talking about buyouts, because this is coming down here today where teams are going to start making decisions on players, and there's some big names floating around. Brian Bickell for the Chicago Blackhawks is one. I talk about the Dallas goaltending situation all the time. Kari Lehtinen or Antti Niemi, one of those two has to be a prime candidate for that. With the Nashville Predators, you've got Erik Nystrom, who he's going to be the guy. David Poile already said he's not going to be back, so he's either traded or bought out. But there's a lot of other names floating around the league, guys who may or may not be back with their teams. Thomas Vanek in Minnesota is another one. He's got 1 year left at $7.5 million. Dustin Brown is one I think is really interesting with the LA Kings, because he's got 6 years left, $32.5 million. So LA would be paying him out for 12 years of cap hit, which is crazy to think. But that's really where we are. Teams have really kind of come that close and that tight to the cap where a lot of teams are going to have to figure it out financially if they're going to be able to do the salary cap dance, especially with the cap being flat this year. And who knows what you're going to see. Honestly, with revenues, I'll be interested to see split among 31 teams, how that's going to affect the cap in 17-18.
Yeah, I mean, all these very interesting questions. I think, again, guys with multiple years, guys like a Dustin Brown, I'd be stunned if he gets bought out, because Dustin Brown would seem to be a very good candidate for Las Vegas to pick up. I mean, he's a known commodity from that LA market, not far from Vegas, really good leader. He would seem to be a good piece to build as a veteran presence in an expansion locker room. The two goalies in Dallas, everyone around the league seems to be talking about Dallas having a goaltender issue, except for the people in Dallas.
Right.
I mean, the management in Dallas seems to really like the way things went with, again, multiple years on both of those contracts. I can see them playing out the year now with both of the goalies. Now you've got a goalie who you can expose in the expansion draft, and, you know, potentially that's your player who you lose instead of maybe a skater who you'd prefer to hold on to. So that there's going to be a lot of strategy that goes along with this, and it's going to be very interesting. Another situation along with buyouts that I think will go hand in hand is the Detroit Red Wings situation with Pavel Datsyuk. Datsyuk, $7.5 million salary cap hit to not play. The Red Wings can't afford to keep that type of lost, sunk salary cap hit. There are some teams, as you talk about Nashville, you talk about Florida, you know, who maybe can better afford to have that cap hit without a cash total associated with it. You know, a Phoenix, Arizona situation, you know, where the cash may be more important to them than the cap hit. Well, could we see an Eric Nystrom traded up to Detroit for Pavel Datsyuk? It cuts Detroit's cap. It cuts Nashville's cash. So there seems to be potentially a win-win by doing that with a guy who otherwise would be a buyout candidate. So that's another thing that I want to look at as we head into this buyout period.
All right, last one for you here, Jay, before we get set to wrap it up here on the Talking Puck podcast. Vegas, out of the chute, can they be competitive?
Year one, it just seems so improbable for a team to be able to have all the assets needed to be overly competitive into a playoff run. You know, depending, again, on some of the fine details, some of the way things are set up, by year three, can they be very legitimate? Yeah, I definitely think so. By year two, boy, if some of those fine details are really tweaked in a way that are team-friendly, outside chance. But I don't think you should have too many high hopes for year one.
We'll talk about all this and more as we continue to roll along here on the Talking Puck podcast. One of the other things that we're going to have to get into is divisional realignment. Will it happen? Probably, with seven teams in the Central and nine now, because it's been said Las Vegas would go into the Pacific. All of this will have to get sorted out. So Jay and I will do our best to walk you through all of that and try to keep on top of things as we go along. We'll have plenty more to talk about here leading up to the draft, leading up to the free agency period. So keep your browser pointed at talkingpuck.wordpress.com, and you can follow Jay and I on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on Air. He is at Bowtie Sports, and we thank you for listening in once again to the Talking Puck podcast.